stand by to receive our transmission.
It's Roast with KM Bell and Tom. They're your Roastmasters.
You do a lot of shows. You do more shows than I do.
I do a lot of shows.
You do tons of shows. You do tons and tons of shows as if you were born to do this thing. You were birthed. You're created for this specific purpose. To shame Utah.
No.
Into doing the right thing.
I shame on a bigger scale. Utah pays no attention to me. I swear to God, it's less than 20% of my audience is local.
Really?
Yeah, it's
less than
nuts.
2%?
20%.
20%. Okay. I should listen. Anyway. It just gets to the point where you're doing your show, and I don't know whether or not I have anything more I can actually contribute at this time. At the same point, this whole thing has always been therapy. It's always been, this is something that I need to do in order to express whatever anger, and more rage I'm thinking at the time. So, it's really pretty much grown out of an ability to properly process what's happening around us. And all I can say is the next 10 weeks, buckle up. It's going to get fucking crazier. So that's where we are right now. Now, another thing too is, I still, I haven't changed my point of view, about how things are and how I really feel about the way the balance of power is currently. I'm very, very concerned that we may be past a critical stage where we're able to control our own destiny.
That
the people who are in power as the GOP have allowed an entire other agents, other parties, to be able to actually control the specific levers of democracy. But I don't, I'm speaking very vaguely, very euphemistically.
You're way deeper than I planned on going tonight.
Well, we're going to sit around and tell dick jokes. Evening. It's the time of the night to go deep.
Well, maybe deep like the Sasquatch scream. We're in Art Bell's territory at this point.
Yeah.
Early Art Bell.
Art's dead. I'm sorry. I'm not Art Bell. Yeah.
Well, no.
I'm not going to go there. I'm not Art Bell.
I'm like Art Bell before he went all creepy and got a child bride out of the Philippines. Art Bell in the 90s.
Oh, my God, he did? There was this other guy here in Portland who did a lot of the Art Bellish type of things. He was really into the supernatural shit. If I can remember that guy, I remember they were like really big before the 2000s. Go ahead.
No, that's was it Whitley Strieber?
I don't know. I've got to look him up. There was a
somebody took over for Art when
Jim
Art
Emerson. Emerson, Tim, I can't remember the guy's name. Anyway, it was like one of these bro shows.
Oh.
And he was like a sidekick. And then they gave him his Friday night show, and it was like, holy fuck, this is like, I'm dreaming. I had this dream, and it happened before the Columbia, burned up on reentry. I dreamed like, seeing shooting stars flying through the sky. And the next day I wake up and I see the news. It's about, Columbia, flamed out on reentry. And I thought there has to be a connection. That's fucking great. I hope you make a million on that.
I was working a show here years ago. I'm not going to say anybody's name because she's doing pretty well for herself now. But we were doing some segment or another. I, for the life of me, can't remember where the fuck it was. But she did a 5-minute piece with music and everything, very NPR, about a weird dream she had. And like, it's playing and we're all just sort of sitting around staring at one another like, what in the fuck are we listening to? It was delightful. It made no goddamn sense at all. And now she's off in a big market with a real goddamn, job in media, and I'm sitting here in Utah still wondering what the fuck that piece was all about. I could do overnights, man. I could do that Art Bell shit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, overnights are wonderful because you really, really let it hang out. Yeah. But, You know what?
From the high
great
deserts.
Thing about overnights is, and I have worked overnights, but I worked like in hospitals to do that. My mom got me into it because she was like, always, like she always would work nights. And like, you go out, you go to work, there's no traffic.
Nope.
You know, you go to work, there's nobody to bother you. You go home, people are just about waking up trying to get, you know, get to work. And it's like, this is fucking great. I have the world to myself. This is wonderful. No wonder mom did that all the time.
Well, yeah, until 5 minutes later when the goddamn, you know, jackhammer starts up and road construction goes. Because you are, you work overnights, man. You are a second class citizen, and that is all there is to it. You might as well be a Democrat in Utah.
I would go to these. They would like, there was this rather three-lettered computer company called IBM. And they would have several shifts. And the third shift would always show up at this bar, you know, that would open up at 7 a.m. And I remember actually joining my friends going to this place. I have never seen a place so raucous and out of control at 7:45 a.m. in the morning with a band playing and everybody drunk. Oh, my God. This was the night shift, and this is how he blew off steam. Fucking A. Fucking A. Anyway,
all right,
I was really moved by what you had written on Friday.
Wow.
About your kid.
Let's do that later.
We can do that later?
Let's do that later. Let's talk instead about me being a shitty parent. So I went and saw.
No, I don't think you are cheap.
No, let me tell you why. Let me tell you why. This has a direction. I went and saw Christopher Robin with one of the kids.
Oh, make me cry.
Have you seen it yet?
No, but I want to.
It's a tale of it's a rehash of the Peter Pan with Robin Williams. It's I'm old. I work too much. I blow off my kids. I'm a shitty dad. And all I'm doing is sitting there going like, oh, fuck, I do that. Oh, I do that. Oh, my God, I've actually said that. But, again, thinking about Democrats, especially here in Utah, it was, what's his name, Brad Garrett? Remember him from Everybody Loves Raymond? He was the voice of Eeyore.
Oh, my God.
It was inspired. But every time he's like, oh, baller. I'll just lay here out of the way, you know, I'm gonna die in a fire. It's just like, oh, Democrats. Every single time. I used to do that after I got fired from the state party out here, 2007 2008. Every time I did something critical, you know, of the party and its really silly behavior and its swing to the conservative right, it was always a picture of Eeyore calling the shots every single time. And it just gave me the giggles. And then I came across this one that was the most pathetically sad, adorable half anime picture of a big eyed weepy little donkey baby with just big shiny ass tears coming out of its big over animated eyes. And that was the one I used for quite a while. And then I had our state representative, Jim Matheson. I don't know if you remember him. He's one of those blue dogs.
Yeah, I think I know who that is.
Blue dogs. And he decided not to go to the national convention in 2008. Obviously because he's a chicken shit, but, and a bad Democrat. So we took a picture of this dude. I mean, this just ridiculous guy. And he was big and loud and he had a can of Natty Light in his hand. And his t-shirt said, more cowbell. And I took his head off and put Jim Matheson's head on it and used that for every post I made for the rest of the trip. Drove the party up a tree, pissed off Matheson, who at that point I just didn't give a shit. I was like, fuck off. I don't care. You got me fired, you little shit. But that's all. So I went to the movie, laughed my ass off. Oh, my God. I mean, I'm not a Pooh fan. Let's just, with an H. Well, I'm not a Pooh fan either. But
I'm just not that Pooh fan.
I've never enjoyed Winnie the Pooh all that much. I've always, I liked I'm a Little Black Rain Cloud. For some reason, that song has always stuck in my head. But aside from that, no. I, you know, he's just someone that's been there in my life. And so this is really, since very early childhood, the first time I've sat still for Pooh and the Gang.
Pooh and the Gang.
Holy shit. The guy that did Pooh also did Tigger. And
oh my God.
They were, I mean, both voices were brilliant. Peter Capaldi wow. played Rabbit, which was just.
Peter Capaldi, that's inspired casting.
Yeah. And so
he's fucking amazing.
It was really good. I mean, it was really good. And he'll tell
you, he's fucking amazing.
Yeah. And so, I mean, you have Ewan McGregor, whom I will always watch do stuff. You had Haley Atwell as the wife. You had this little girl whose name I don't know, who was just wonderful as Madeline. And then all of these live action stuffed animals. And there's fucking Brad Garrett just nailing Eeyore so perfectly. Oh, there goes my tail. It's just every single time I start laughing.
There goes the environment.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. Nope. I was born to perish. He was just, I mean, he just really, really did a very good. The whole movie was just wonderful from start to finish. You got too many critics that take things way too seriously. And they're like, oh, it disjointed in the middle, or it didn't make sense here, or it's not this. It was a perfectly fine movie. It did its job admirably well. It put too many clothes on Haley Atwell, which I'm starting to think is a conspiracy of the world against me. But aside from that, touching.
Well, it's Disney's attempt. I mean, you know, look what's happening with James Gunn, and now the clothing with Haley Atwell. You know, just one leads to the other. I don't know.
I think this
Haley Atwell. The truth. This is what we need to know.
Because she did Agent Carter, and yeah, I remember
she was great
in season two. There was a scene where they threw her into a swimming pool, and she climbed out wearing more than she was wearing when she went in. And I'm like, you know, this just feels like you guys are picking on me, and me being a dirty old man. It feels like you're out to get me, or not at all. I don't know.
Oh my God.
I mean, I don't. You know me. I'm always a fan of. We had a kid in the store the other day, and he was popping off about something or other, and ended up calling someone from TV a slut, whore, bitch, cunt.
That's no way to talk about ladies.
And I was like,
that's totally not good at all. That's awful.
It's very awful. You know, same guy who also had popped into the store at one point after seeing Black Panther and was like, I don't understand why everybody's so pissed. It's not like I own slaves. And it's like, wow, that was your takeaway?
Okay, fucking asshole. I know who you are.
Yeah.
I know the kind of person you are. Fuck off.
No, that's the thing is he's a really nice guy who just happens to have a particular accent that leads me to believe that perhaps his parents left a certain fundamental part of the don't be a dick, you know, upraising out of his curriculum. Because otherwise he's just, I mean, he's very nice. He's, I mean, I don't know how to explain it, but I did go off for a minute about how, you know, it's not, slut is a mean word for something that never deserves to have mean words thrown at them. There's a picture I posted not too long ago that I got from a coloring book that my daughter showed me called the Vajayjay coloring book, and in it is there's no such thing as a slut, there's only women with friendly vaginas. And when you think about it, it's what if it weren't for women with friendly vaginas, my high school and college years would have been very, very lonely. And I have a very respectful spot in my heart for women who, as far as I am concerned, stooped to letting me see them, touch them, taste them naked all throughout my life. And so I find sluts to be just such an antithesis to a life well led. You know,
I see it as a hatred of just everything about women. I'm just very much over that.
Yeah. And I tied that in for him as, you know, if it weren't for girls that you think were slutty, you know, how would your high school have been? And he's like, oh yeah. And I'm like, it's just like, I'll bet you think, you know, cocksucker's an insult.
This shit, did they say, or are they just like, or are they just projecting, or what the fuck?
I just think he didn't like that particular comic book character. And he doesn't know that there are other ways to say that you don't like it, such as, for example, yeah, I really didn't like that show, or I really don't like that comic book. You know, I don't appreciate this, or that personality bugs me. Instead, you go back to words that you heard from your big brothers and your dads and your uncles, and you say shit. But that was the thing, is I asked him, I'm like, you know, is cocksucker an insult? And he's like, yeah. It's like, no, it isn't. No, it isn't. It's a fucking hero, you idiot. Do you like getting blowjobs? Yeah. Then why would you use that as an insult?
So, okay. So if
sorry,
see, I can't bridge this because I was going to go to Captain Marvel, and I'm after what we just talked about. There you go. I just can't segue into Brie Larson at this point.
So without going to Brie Larson for a second, I'll bring my other point. My other point was, is that I've watched the show and I've read the comic book. She's not a whore. She's never charged a penny in her life. So I don't know where that comes from. You know, depending on what country you're from, dropping the C-bomb is nothing more than you showing distaste and hatred for women in the first place. But I happen to know you love your mom and your wife, so I don't understand where that's coming from. And as far as a bitch, I actually think that's in the description of Jessica Jones, that that is what she is. So I'll let that one go. But everything else deserves a lecture.
You're dumping on Jessica Jones.
Oh, yeah.
You're fucking kidding me.
Why would I kid? That wouldn't be funny.
No, that's a fucking great show. I love Jessica Jones. I love the character.
Season 2, man, was a little rough, though. I'll tell you that. I mean, look, if he had said that about her mom in season 2, I might not have fought back so hard. That was mean. I shouldn't have said that.
Oh. But I can just say, if there is ever a hero that comes at just the right, the perfect time, and this is a spoiler, yeah, at the end of Infinity Wars, you know, it's...
That little logo.
It's Captain Marvel. Yeah. It's so fucking perfect. That's such a fucking... She's gonna save Brie. Brie Larson's going to save everybody or die trying.
Now, what we get with that in March is we get our Captain Marvel movie, which takes place in the 90s.
Really?
As our setup. And then in May, we get Infinity Wars Part 2. See,
I was not aware of this.
Yeah, you get a whole Captain Marvel movie before she shows up to save everybody. And don't forget, at the end of Guardians of the Galaxy Part 2, that gold lady was talking about her inventing Adam Warlock, who has always played a very important part anytime the Infinity Stones pop up throughout the history of the Marvel comics. So we got a whole bunch of goofy shit coming in the next few months that people just really... And that's in the cinematic universe. You've still got another season of Daredevil on the way. And in just a couple of weeks, we get Iron Fist, which I am looking far more forward to for season 2 than season 1. Because I don't know if you knew this or not, but the guy who plays Danny Rand, when they started that, he only had 2 months to learn martial arts. And the director of the series, the showrunner for the series, had never done an action bit before.
Mm.
And they've fixed all that now.
Well, it's not bad. I mean, I do like the series.
Yeah, I do too.
They really know how to sequence these things. So they really know what they're doing.
So
the Russo brothers knew what they were doing.
Oh, yeah.
It was a lovely way to end that first one, that first Infinity Wars movie. It was fantastic, fantastic. The bad guy wins. Sometimes the bad guy wins, but Here comes the cavalry. So we're not done yet.
You know, let's deconstruct Thanos. He's not a bad guy. He's just a good guy doing a good thing in a bad, bad way. He could have snapped his fingers and doubled the resources of the universe, you know, but he doesn't think like that. He's not processed like that.
No, no, that isn't his process. He's rather linear about it. He's rather, in his universe, it's rather limited. So therefore, all right, well, where does he come from?
Well, and
where
it's, this? Yeah, and it's quite religious, as they pointed out when you had, you know, his weird donkey-faced guy at the beginning, you know, be blessed, you touch the children of Thanos.
Yep.
So, you know.
Thanos' minion.
His high priest is the way I keep thinking about it.
Oh, wow. That's good.
That's the way it feels. It's, I mean.
It felt biblical. It felt like, you know, this is exactly what is written. It is destined, and we are going to make this happen.
Yeah.
You know, you will not stand in our way. We will get everything. You know, everyone put up a pretty good fight, but in the end, everybody seemed, and I stress the word seemed to have lost. You know, people are stranded on other worlds. You know, our beloved characters disappear. You know, and you know what are left are almost like the core of where we started from.
No, it is. It's the original group. It's the original gang.
Yeah, it's the original gang. The original gang. All the other additions, you know, just kind of disappear.
But I saw an interview with those guys, and they were talking about how everybody fared. And they went through it for 20 minutes. They went through one by one how they made certain decisions on who was what, how Thor got the hero's arc throughout, and which I thought was great. Even though I'm a little biased there.
Thor's a really close thing in your heart. It's just, you want to see Thor, and you want to see Thor grow. You know, you want to see those character arcs. Very, very important.
I do.
Tony, I love Tony. Tony's an entirely, I don't know whether or not they fleshed everything out. I know he's in a really bad place.
He needed to lose.
Huh?
He needed to lose.
That is the biggest thing, that needing to lose. Of course, he's been trying, as he's been evolving from Iron Man and all of the adjacent Iron Mans after that, and as he's been developing the technology, as it's been getting more and more out of control, it's been a reaction to fear. Fear, number one, is that there is a superior force, that they're going to be defeated. But then again, what if I create it? The monster that I've created, I no longer have control. So there's a whole bunch of things to unpack with Tony. Is that right? What do you think?
No, I do. I mean, you know, he starts out, he's cocky. He stays cocky. No matter how much he's been pressed upon, he's always pulled it out in the end. You know, looks like he's overcome his alcoholism for as lightly as they touched it. And yet, here he is, you know, almost alone with somebody he doesn't know, stranded on a planet that he's never been to before. You know, they lost. That was Quill's, even though I think half of the problem is Quill and half of the problem is Thor. Thor should aim for the head, make no mistake. But you go back to Quill, they almost had the glove. And Quill lost his temper. And I understand where he lost his temper. It was pure. It was pure. That's how I would lose my temper, you know, at the worst possible moment. It costs the most fucking damage. No,
That's fine. That's great. Now, remind me who Quill is. Who's Quill? Who's
Peter Quill. Star-Lord.
Huh?
Star-Lord.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Of course. And that was set up to be perfect. Perfect setup for that. That was the right call. And they had to, I think when you put your finger on it, Jeff, it's just they had to lose. That is the medicine that if you're going to be at that level, if you're going to be that kind of superhero, you have to lose at some point to understand what it really, really means, what the stakes are.
Well, and it gives character depth as well. You know,
And I think they've done a far much better job than DC Universe.
Well, DC's
trapped by I rewatched
the other day the
Justice League.
No, Watchmen. Well, yeah, Justice League too. But
I saw that too. Did you see the three different versions that are out?
I watched the ultimate version that they have on Amazon.
Yep.
With the cartoons and everything mixed in.
Yep.
I forget how powerful a movie that was. I forget how well Scott Snyder did, or not Scott Snyder, Zack Snyder did with that movie. Scott Snyder is a Batman writer who's awesome. But at the same time, you see what that movie was. You see how good it was. You see that it did very, very well. And so they're like, okay, well, he's in charge of everything. And I think he kind of got lucky on that one. But you go back and watch like the extended version of Batman v Superman, the ultimate version there. It's a good movie. Okay. It's a good movie, but it took 25 minutes of more of scenes to make it a good movie.
Yep.
And I think that should have been the theatrical release. Otherwise, it mega failed the Bechdel test. Excuse me. It just, I don't know. They've lost their way.
And I think there are things that I love. I'm sorry if I'm cutting in on this.
No, please do.
I mean, Batman versus Superman. Okay, that's one thing. Okay, then Superman dies, and we see him come back to life in Justice League. But there are certain beats and things that are right when you come into the movie, like the Leonard Cohen song. You know, everybody knows how it starts. You know, things are, you know, dystopic and things are just aren't right. I like the introduction of, you know, certain characters. I like the interaction and stuff. I like kind of how it's developing. Again, you know, we have Beowulf, who's the antagonist, and then he's supposed to be defeated because he has some certain cubes that are supposed to, when assembled,
rearrange
the universe or something.
Yeah. Hello, mother.
And there are bits and pieces of things that I like. And then going back to Watchmen, I watched it from the beginning again, and I was like that JFK reenactment, you know, that whole scene in Dealey Plaza. That fucking thing is fantastic.
Yeah.
Like right down to the visual beats, the look of the film, where the car, you know, is supposed to be, where all the performers are supposed to be, everything, you know, and the reveal of that's absolutely fantastic. But, you know, not just that, but, you know, the whole, yeah, I mean, there are like a lot of really amazing things in that movie.
No, it's a wonderful movie. It really is. Rorschach is transcendent.
Love
for
Rorschach.
Me. The thing is, the line that he, as the actor, delivers, the I'm not locked in here with you, you're locked in here with me. The sheer weight and gravity that particular actor, whose name I cannot remember.
I know who it is.
Yeah, I totally. But he put into that line in the comic book. That's a one-off. The therapist mentions it to somebody in passing. He doesn't say
Jackie Earl Haley. That's the guy's name. And that guy's been around.
Yeah. Yeah, he's good. But yeah, Rorschach in that. Rorschach's how I think I'd be if I was a superhero. I think I'd lose my mind like that. I think that's the seriousness in which I'd take everything. But I don't know. Hey, let's do me a favor, will you?
Mm-hmm.
Let's take like 10 seconds so I can walk over to the other side over here and flip a fan on. I mean, I got a nasty sunburn. I want to tell you why.
Do it now. Do it now. Right. Let me get a little bit of water. Take 10 seconds.
Stand by.
Hey, Chucklehead, let me ask you a question. When you went to college, they made you pay for it, right? Higher education costs something. It's not free. But here you are, listening to the shows on the Defenestrate Media Broadcast Network, receiving a higher education than you can get in the Ivy League, and you're listening to it all for free. The Left Show, Hold 322, you're listening to all those for nothing. Do us all a favor, freeloader. Head over to theleftshow.com and drop a few bucks with the donate button. Think about it. If these shows go away, what are you and your drum circle gonna listen to while you're making patchouli incense and painting your protest signs? Limbaugh? Really? Get serious. Theleftshow.com. Do the right thing for the left wing.
There are 10 jillion podcasts in this crazy world, but there is only one that serves a fresh pot of hi. How do you do? I'm Tom, your host of the Coffee Cast. My mission is to make it as compelling a listen as you'll find it. I'll talk about all kinds of subjects. Sometimes I'll have guests. Good stories, because people listen to what interests them. sometimes it's the Coffee Cast. So if you're listening as you're texting the seventh draft of a resignation message to the soon-to-be former psychopathic boss, gift shopping rotary phones for your great-great aunt, or skydiving for the first time without a parachute, whoops, welcome to the Coffee Cast. Remember, you can download a fresh Coffee Cast podcast anytime at Stitcher and iTunes, and now on demand on the Progressive Voices app and progressivevoices.com. So until the next pot gets brewed, I'll do my best to keep it fresh. The Coffee Cast Podcast.
What do you miss when you miss The Left Show?
Huckabee, being a former pastor.
Yeah.
And the biggest mouthpiece for the Christian right, has proven himself time and again to not be a Christian because he believes that Levitical law is absolute and was never removed by Christ.
Right. So he's a rabbi, yeah, and therefore not Christian.
Yeah, yes. He's Rabbi Huckabee.
Why not? Then he gets to eat better deli food.
Oh. Haven't the Jews been through enough?
Yeah. Oh.
That was a good point. Good point.
I am pretty sure.
I know
we got a little bit to go, but I am pretty sure Taylor just won the show.
Fresh episodes every Monday on iTunes, Stitcher, and theleftshow.com.
I think it was brilliant to cast, to use Mother's Ba as, to write the music for Ragnarok. That was brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
That was absolutely fucking brilliant. You know, and that, oh, just perfect.
I got my problems with that movie, but overall, I really liked it.
Too much funny or what?
I think that Thor probably should have been more of a straight man in his own movie for that.
Oh.
You know, I happen to, and I know that, I mean, at the time, everybody liked it, and then it didn't age very well, but Kenneth Branagh's original Thor, when you consider what a difficult character that is to bring to the screen.
Yeah, yeah.
Branagh's Thor was brilliant. It was beautiful. It was big. It was brash. It was bold. And he did what needed to be done with that, and I was a little upset he didn't come back for number two. And people shit on number two, and I like number two.
Mm-hmm.
Quite
a bit. I love number two.
Yeah. And so when three popped up and it was weird, compared to, as much as I love it, you know, it was out of tone. But if that's the thing that keeps Hemsworth with the hammer, I'm fine. You know, because he felt reinvigorated in this series again. He was happy to play it. And I'm like, okay, well, you know what? That's worth it for me. And it beats the hell out of the fact that I've got a problem with the new Star Trek movie coming up in that Hemsworth's agents and Pine's agents are both putting the brakes on signing their contracts because Paramount wants to cut everybody's salary, even though they've already signed contracts.
They've done three movies and they brought the franchise back to life.
Yeah.
Fucking pay Paramount, pay the talent.
Well, the problem is talent. That Beyond didn't make near what they thought it would. And it's like, I know why you guys had shitty fucking marketing. That was one of the worst marketed space films I have ever seen in my entire life. You guys, it was, I get that you had, you know, a Fast and the Furious director directing it, but that doesn't mean that I need to see a fucking Fast and the Furious commercial for a space opera, for Christ's sake. I know what it is I want to watch.
Wagon Train to the Stars.
Something like that. So, I don't know. So it's out in the sun today. I have sunburn.
How much in the sun were you?
All in the sun from about 6 o'clock in the morning on. I am roasted.
I was in the
like a chicken in a grocery store display.
I was in the Steens. I was in Summer Lake. I was in Burns. My son and I went to Eastern Oregon.
Okay.
God, we are like halfway through. We're driving down. Got the place in the Steens, and then we were heading down, driving down there. And that's about maybe a 50, 60 mile drive from Burns. You're in central Oregon in Harney County, and you are in desert country. I just love the crazy variety of topography in Oregon. It's absolutely stunning. It's amazing. I love it so much. The smoke is everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
There's no vistas or anything. You know, I'm out, you know, on top of like a 9,000 foot ridge yesterday for quite an extended period of time. I remember my doctor saying, well, you know, I'm going to give you this this medication, but don't spend a lot of time out in the sun, okay? Please just don't do that, all right? Just think of like, well, you know, if something happens, well, so what? Who gives a flying fuck? But it's been like the amount of dust that we had to take off that we had to hose off the truck, caked in our lungs. I mean, it's not just the desert is dry, and I love the desert, but it's like we've got I saw fires on mountainsides at night. I smelled the smoke from Northern California, smoke from fires all throughout the state. It was just crazy. We went to the top of the Steens, and you look out, and you just part of what is down below in the Alford Desert is just covered in smoke. You're above at 9,000 feet, and you come right back down into it. The sun turns orange, and the sky turns brown.
Yep.
And it's just, this is summer. I heard fire season used to be 2 weeks in the summer.
Oh, yeah.
It's all summer now. So that's where we are. So you were doing labor that was manual today?
I made an oval.
Draw a circle. I'd
like to be more descriptive and talk about the magnificent smoky sky, but all I did was breathe that horse shit and make an oval.
That's where we are today.
We've got a this outdoor pool that we bought 3 years ago now, and it's just been sitting moldering out in the backyard. And
you're talking about your new place or your old place?
No, this is over at the old place. My kids need to do stuff, and it needs to be exercise worthy, and neither of them do public very well at this point. So I'm like, fuck it, I'll put this above ground pool in, on, whatever. And I've worked on it. I've spent a couple of days last week leveling out the ground. And what I had to do today was dig 20 holes and put in 20 cinder blocks, all level across.
You must be fucking cooked. When did you stop?
I stopped at 4:15, 4:30.
You didn't do any shows today, did you?
No, I didn't do any shows today.
Fucking A, man. You must be, oh, god damn, you're a hero. You're like,
well, that my back is fucking killing me. Yeah, I am. And I don't know. I must have cooked off that sunscreen in minutes. I must have sweat it right off. Or if this is what it's like with sunscreen, I can't imagine what it'd be without. But yeah, that's what I did. And so I did all this. It was 20 holes. Everything's put in. Everything's fucking leveled. The whole goddamn base is put together. And I'm like, this sense of accomplishment washes over me. It's like, fuck, that is a day's worth of fucking work I did right there. And I walked in and I had some water and did a couple things and went back out to have a smoke. And I look over at the ground and basically all I've done is make an oval. I just made a fucking oval. That's it. It's not, you can't even tell there's going to be a swimming pool there. It looks like a broken piece of shit, a Hot Wheels track. I'm like, oh, fuck me. I made a fucking oval.
Well, it sounded like you need some help, because halfway down to the Steens, my youngest says to me, he goes, you know, we're halfway distant between where we are now if we were to drive between here and Salt Lake or Seattle. And I go, which, where would you want to go? And he goes, well, I haven't been to Salt Lake. So if we actually, and then he goes, oh yeah, I got to be back on Sunday. And I go, what? And he goes, yeah, we got a show. And he goes, what did you tell me? Otherwise, we would have kept going.
Oh,
and that oval would have been a tetrahedron.
It'd still be an oval. If it's a tetrahedron, I'm fucked.
Well, you see, that's what I'm saying. It's because he added us. And if we're trying to help, we would have fucked it up.
Dude, that's the thing. I am going to need some fucking help. This was, I'm watching the video, right, that the manufacturer puts
that's
out.
That's what we do now. We all watch the videos. That's all we do. Anything, you know, refrigerator repair, anything, you know, like laying concrete, watch the videos.
Yeah. Well, I love it. But I do. It's they had a video, an official that's very, very old. But I had the video playing, and in every single shot.
Welcome to making a swimming pool.
Yeah, actually.
In the 1950s.
Not quite that old.
It everywhere.
This is more like. This is more like the late 90s. But, I mean, what? Has above ground swimming pool technology changed all that much? No.
No. Same thing.
So, but in every single shot, in every single scene, there's like three dudes doing the work, and I'm out there by myself all day going, well, fuck, this really would be easier with a couple of buddies. But I don't know if you know, most of my friends, we are fat and broken and a little bit lazy, and we don't much care for sunshine. You know, whereas my ex did a thing with the yard not too long ago. And like half her fucking friends showed up and did the work. It's like, well, what the shit, man?
Great. Great.
Thanks, everybody. I'm not that big of complaining. My friends come through for me in weird ways. You know, they do. It just happens that manual labor is not one of those ways very often.
Sad.
So I don't mind. You know,
right. No worries.
You figure it out step by step. And that's, I've known these guys for ages. You know, we've all played D&D together. We've spent our summers indoors. I don't have expectations and I shouldn't have. They've been there for me when my heart's been broken, when I've been broken and when I've been broke. That's what my friends do.
That's the story of love. Meanwhile,
a little bit of love moves some shit around the backyard wouldn't hurt either.
well, that's love.
Yeah. Regardless, nice guys all. Everybody is friends in their own way. I have no complaints. I just like to bitch and whine. So yeah, I made a fucking oval. Whereas it sounds like you and your kid went on a nice bonding road trip.
We went, I tallied it up, 935 miles.
Nice. Just for shits and giggles?
When you drive down, yeah. Well, he wanted to go to the Steens and spin through the Alford. And the Alford's just this big playa. It's just flat. When you're on the dry side of Oregon, and that's, ladies and gentlemen, that's 2/3 of the state.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks it's all green.
No.
No. 2/3 of the state is scrubbed. High desert. It's desert.
From the high desert of the American West.
7,000 feet.
Comes coast to coast.
It's wonderful. And so when you're out there, I mean, it isn't just the, you know, the buttes and the topography and the chasms and everything. It's just so awesome to be out and experience it, no matter what. I mean, even if the weather's shitty. So we found these two really, like, unexpected. He just goes, yeah, we'll Airbnb it. And I go, really? So we found this cabin, like, out in the middle of, okay, we come to the end of this road, this place that's called, what was it? Summer Lake, which is a dried lake bed. Drive in about 4 or 5 miles, take a little gate to the left, drive up another half a mile, and we are just in the sand, in the dust, all right? And there's this cabin. Somebody's built a two-story cabin. All it's got is propane lights and stuff. And you better bring your bags and bring your own food because there's nothing else. You know, there is some water, but it does smell kind of sulfuric. So, you know, it comes from a well. Huh. And that's just the first night. So it's that kind of thing. You can do that kind of thing. And it wasn't that expensive either. It was really great. And, you know, I mean, I wish I had a couple of more days, but we definitely did a lot of really, really good things.
Nice.
And yeah, that's really important.
Well, because I am Christopher Robin, did not. I worked alone in my backyard.
I'll tell you what, Christopher Robin goes back two generations. If you, I mean, played a big role. I remember watching it like take hold of my brothers and sisters when I was growing up. And when we had kids, Pooh was, you know, there was a lot of the videos that we played, and you couldn't avoid it on Disney Channel at all. Right. I mean, there's Pooh everywhere that you had to wipe off, you know, gave people jobs. And that was really important.
No, I remember. It was my favorite stupid memory of that Disney Pooh is, and I know that this is silly and I'm just very silly, but it was the game that they played where on one, the upstream side of the bridge, they would all throw a stick and then they'd turn around and run to the other, the downstream side and see whose stick came through first. And they called the game Poo Sticks and said Poo Sticks over and over and over again. And this was just in the cartoon, the TV show. And I'm like, how the fuck did this get through? These guys have said Poo Sticks about 40 times.
Wasn't that the blustery day? Pooh and the blustery day?
I don't remember.
I think it was.
All I know is I was waiting for Phineas and Ferb to come on.
Another great show.
I love that show.
Another great show. It's funny how they've evolved.
Hello.
You know, they evolved from that. And then it was Jimmy Neutron.
Yeah.
And, you know, oh my God.
I love Dr. Doofenshmirtz. I love the guy. Every time he pops on, there's that song he sings with the pretty girl, you know, how the evil boy meets an evil girl. And it is, without a doubt, one of the sweetest goddamn songs I've ever heard in my life.
And again, all these shows, a lot of these shows were scored by Mother's Ball.
Yeah.
Like Rugrats and shit. Just amazing. So, yeah, that was when you bring your kids up in the aughts, that's what happens.
Yeah.
You get that second generation there. So we've covered that now. Where to next? Where would you like to go?
Well, I made an oval. well, I don't know. I think I don't want to do too much on my youngest. Other than let me do this. And people have heard it and they've mentioned it on a couple of the other shows. But every once in a while you hear me make a weird fucking snorty noise. And it's basically the air down here is poison. It's thick. My phone sends me messages saying, don't go outside, dummy. Don't do it. I don't have allergies, but it feels like I constantly am fighting off an allergy attack because our air is so thick. But
is it because of all the smoke and stuff or what?
Yeah, it's smoke, smog. We get our own inversion. It's harder to see in the summer, but it's still there. And then I've got my lungs and nose are coated with dirt from everything I've been doing the last few weeks over at the old house. Too. But no, regardless. So I don't like spending a lot of time telling other people's stories. And my youngest son is part of the LGBT community and doesn't like me talking about that part of him and his life.
And we don't have to talk about this on the air.
No,
we don't
good.
Have to talk about this at all because
I put it on Twitter.
I'm not at that point in my life where I used to have people talk about something that they're really uncomfortable about. And I'm not going to talk. I'm not going to have you talk about it if you don't want to talk about it.
No, I'm good. I put it on Twitter and just mentioned the kid.
I read it.
And so I'm going to talk about it from just my point of view. And that's, I got a kid who is in a high risk pool. And in Utah right now, we have, it's epidemic, teen suicide. And the truth is it has been since I was a kid in high school. I don't know why. I do know why. Utah's got a religion problem. And the high expectations that are set lead to suicide for people that don't meet those high expectations. I don't think I can mention anybody that I went to high school with, or even my first few years of college, that didn't have a friend, that killed themselves. And so,
Wait a minute. You're telling me do you have many anecdotal stories of individuals who killed themselves because they didn't meet the high standards of what was expected of them as a Mormon?
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. And it's high expectations of all things, though, too. I mean, we've had, you know, there was one friend of the friends that didn't make it into the military. We've got another, you know, and it's these high expectations in sort of how religious communities are with one another, you know. But out here, we do have a lot of kids, and a lot of these kids that are in the LGBTQ community that are run off from their families, that don't know how to fit in, that are forcefully cut from the herd. And you know,
I hear you. I know it, and I understand the heartbreak.
So we have that. And that was part of the thing that I was on is I'm constantly in a worry. I'm constantly in a fear, and it could just be my own fear, you know, but
I don't think so.
No, probably not. But I'm trying to find a school for my kid in Utah, and that's ridiculous. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And there have been some people, some teachers, some administrators that have been over backwards trying to help us get where we need to go. And we had a school last year that was supposed to be the perfect school, the one that we needed. And instead, a few things went south, and uniforms, and there were some good teachers there, and some teachers that were a little too wrapped up in their religion, which was not Mormon, but was conservative. And this was a STEM academy, and I had to deal with religious shit with my kids. So I was sitting in this school, yet another school that I knew that I was going to end up on yet another waiting list. It's an LGBTQ friendly school. And we thought that, you know, here's another one where they do have a gay straight alliance. It's not called that, because they're not allowed to call them that in Utah anymore because Mormons, run in the legislature. But, so I'm sitting there, and I'm sitting there for like 40 minutes, and I'm listening to the secretary's talk, and I know I'm fucked. I know I'm just absolutely hosed. There's nothing I'm going to be able to do to get my kid in there. And I start writing that little bit on Twitter. You know, I'm pissed off. I am pissed off. And I'm sad. And I'm sad, and I'm scared. And these are three things I don't feel at the same time very often. I'm obviously more now since 2018. 2016. But you know, I just somehow on accident gave into it. And the next, and I'm sitting there, I am, you know, I've painted the picture before. I'm 6'4". I'm about 270 pounds. I'm broad across the shoulders. I have resting asshole face. I constantly look like I'm pissed off. I don't try to, it's just what my face does. I wear a cowboy hat sort of, and so I'm sitting in the office, and there's all these, you know, matriarchal women bustling around trying to get school ready. And I have to throw my sunglasses on because I'm having a weep, a very quiet, manly weep. Let's not get, you know, ahead of ourselves.
I hear you.
Hang on. I'm taking a sip of water.
Yeah.
See, it echoes when I take a sip of water. So,
and that's the beer refreshing.
Finally, after about 40 minutes, I get in to talk to the principal, and he says, "Hey, come on in." And I stand up, and in my best voice, I'm like, "Oh yeah, you bet. On my way." You know, I'm a serious man on serious business. I sat down in a chair across from his desk. I couldn't even get a word out before every fucking emotional dam I have ever set up in my entire life broke at the same time. Oh, and God. This poor man just had, you know, what looks like a giant redneck sit down and start weeping in his office. It's like I emotionally vomited all over his fucking desk. Just like, I'm like, could not get a word out. It was just like, and the whole time I'm like, there's this calm, rational voice in the back of my head going, "Wow, wow, boy, couldn't even try words first, could you?" Jumping right to the waterworks. Here we go. What a fun story you're going to be at the faculty lounge. But I got my point out. I finally stopped crying enough to tell him. And it's just like, I'm terrified for my kid. I'm fucking terrified. I got three kids. This is the last one going through school, and by God, this is the one I'm going to try like hell, just not to let the whole system fucking destroy this kid's sense of self-worth. You know, I had my oldest, bright, funny, delightful boy. We ran him through, and there are other factors, obviously, but we ran him through this particular set of schools that we've been stuck at. And he came out the other side, pissed, angry, didn't really care for himself very much anymore. My daughter, my middle child went through and she did a year, and we did everything we could. We got her to a year of private school and then couldn't afford that anymore. We got her into the STEM Academy last year. She's a ball of anxiety after her year. So with this one, I'm just trying to find a safe school. And it blows my mind that I got to find a safe school.
Because we're talking first year high school?
This is eighth grade. Once I get into high school, I've got safe places for the kids to go. But, you know, we're eighth grade this year. It's frustrating.
You have, first of all, you have every right to step back in what happened in that room and forgive yourself for the reasons that this culture, your experiences, it brought you to this. And you have perfect right, because you fear for your children and you are working to give them the very best. And you know what the true consequences of not giving them the best, or quite possibly, or the fear in which the world in which they live in that state, with the situation as it is. I'm not particularly articulating this very well, but what you experienced at that moment was the natural causation of all of that anxiety and all of that stress. Any parent would have had a very difficult time, because at that very moment, that's the moment where the dialogue begins and said, yeah, hey, we really need your support. We need your help. We need a safe place for my kid. This has got to happen, you know. And we can't fuck around about this anymore. We know about the consequences. We definitely know. And you really, truly cannot help yourself at that moment. And I think what also happened is that you just simply showed the import of that emotion and how incredibly vital and important it is.
Let me interrupt that with one thing. This dude, this principal, handled me perfectly. He was sympathetic. He let me know what was going on. He let me boob and babble there for a couple minutes while I got my shit together. I have absolutely no complaints about anything that happened in there, other than the fact that I didn't even get my point across before I lost my shit. And normally when I lose my shit, it's a temper problem. And I am fiercely protective of my kids, sometimes to a fault, to the point that when we had problems with the kids last year, and the teacher in question that was giving one of my kids shit did it for the third time, I'm the one that went down to the school. I'm the one that talked to the principal. I'm the one who told him that my inclination was to pick this teacher up and throw them out a fucking window. And I'm like, I'm not trying to be a big, gigantic, tough white guy. I'm telling you what my heart tells me to do right now is to take this teacher that is torturing my kid and let them have a little bit physically that I can't give them mentally. I said, I need you to understand that's how I'm processing my anger right now, with the fact that your religious teacher won't get off my kid's fucking back. At which point he went, oh, so it's not a physical threat. I'm like, well, not quite yet, but it is perilously close.
It's pretty goddamn close.
It's just like, I love my kids. I love my kids more than you will ever love this job. So for the, you know, whatever you got to do, get this teacher off my kid's back. And they, to their credit, fired that teacher. You know, that didn't
really
stop it. It didn't stop all of the problems.
What it was, he was giving shit to your boy about.
Ask me. I after. Mean, it's somebody what? Else. It's his story. I'll tell you after.
But okay, no worries.
Basically, the fact that he was different, this teacher was fucking picking on him. And once they,
I was raised in it. I don't know why. Like, Dad sent me to a Catholic school, sent all of us.
Sure.
No wonder they're so fucking poor. this is in the 60s.
Yeah.
You know, and you're raised pretty much by nuns. And some of these people are just fucking miserable people. And there are some others in there that are just wonderful and good people.
Yeah.
But it's like, you got high expectations. You better fucking meet them. You know, we have these. And of course, like early on, you just see it and you just go, oh, this is fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
I don't fucking buy any of your shit. And they knew I knew. So it's like they gave me that extra hard time. And of course, you know, I can imagine. I can just imagine yet somebody, the way in which that they would go after somebody. That's just fucking wrong.
Yeah. And it was happening. And that was what it was me losing my temper. Had them take a longer look at the teacher and find other, you know, problems that stemmed on, you know, for a bunch of other kids as well. And it was basically my catalyst was, hello, I'm about to commit a felony. Could you please help me with the situation before I do? At which point the school finally went, oh, maybe we should take this a little more seriously and take a peek into what's going on. Oh my God, this is awful. We're going to tidy this up. And and if nothing else, it serves, you know, as a thing that, you know, when your kids come home, if they tell the same story the same way three times, you can believe that it might not be nearly as melodramatic as it may be coming across. And you should go and take a peek. I'm not a big fan of parents that call the bullies parents. I'm more of the fan of, if my kid's being a bully and somebody pops him in the schnoz, my kid had it coming. Right. You know, I don't believe that my kids are flawless. I don't believe that they're fucking perfect. I happen to know that they're not. I've seen them do the dishes. So, you know, any parent that believes that their children is not capable of some sort of extraordinarily horrific behavior from time to time doesn't remember their own childhood or is in denial about it, because children are fucking awful. But these are my children. And in this case, the awful
things.
I know
my kids.
Yeah. The awful things are happening to them.
Okay. Because, you know, it's interesting you have that story, because about a month or two ago, my oldest came out to us as LGBT, as a transgender person. And my oldest is transitioning to female. And part of the experience when you're an adult and you raise your children and that moment happens, there are a couple of things. But the one thing that struck me was that there are so many different varieties of emotion as a parent that you actually have to put aside and think carefully about the child in question. And although the child in question is halfway through college right now.
Sure.
I've known my kid to be pretty miserable and pretty fucking unhappy the last couple of years, which we've been trying to nail down what the really issue is. And after going to therapy for a while, quickly figured out what the real issue is, and it is on the path, you know, that my oldest is on the path to, you know, transitioning.
Sure.
And automatically, you know, the fear comes down to, I know my child, I know what my child is capable of, I know the world in which my child is inhabiting, and I know that this is a fairly liberal city to be in, because, you know, my kid's going to, you know, college in the city. Well, that doesn't mean anything.
Nope.
Still, because not just the instance of suicide, depression, getting beaten up, getting killed, you know, as a transgendered individual is off the charts.
Oh, fuck
off the
yeah.
fucking charts.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, put aside, you know, all of the individual thoughts and reactions, but I am immensely proud of my child and to be able to take that step and to be able to come out and be able to say and do that. Not everybody in the family knows about this. Now, our own family, of course, everybody is on board.
Are we recording? Are we still recording?
We're recording.
Okay.
I have permission. We've talked about this.
Okay.
We've talked about this. We've talked about this because I know your situation, and I'm sharing my situation. And the only other ones who really don't know are the extended outer family, my family, who probably don't listen to this fucking show, which is great. But the other members of my wife's family that don't know yet, my kid's going to be rooming with her cousin, and they know, but the rest of the family doesn't know. So the friends, close friends have all known for a while, you know, the people they play in the band with, the people they're friends with, people they party with, generally that whole group all knows. Okay. So it's been interesting. It's been a little like offsetting. It's, you know, but I've been doing a lot of processing about this the last couple of months since this happened. So believe me, I get it. I understand, you know, when you're talking about your kid, the fact he's going into eighth grade, really, yeah, he's going to be okay. I guess, you know, things are going to be a little bit better in high school, but believe me, a really great, huge credit to being able to figure that out at that delicate age.
Yeah, we're 2 years in. We're 2 years in, and it has been,
We knew all the way back. I mean.
Yeah, I'm still pretty shitty on, look, man, I'm good with most pronouns.
Well, I think that's the biggest criticism is because I'll always get back, well, why do you keep dropping the he's? You know, just like, oh, I'm sorry. I know, like, we've known you for 20 years, and it's just hard to turn the boat around in a U-turn sometimes. Yep. Okay, please be patient with us, please.
We're old, and my brain is soft. I don't remember things. I mean, that's just it, man.
Please don't take it personally.
Yeah.
But it means everything to them to be identified in the gender by which they wish to, that they know that they are.
Yeah.
And if you, and, you know, it's not a question of acceptance. It's just identity. It's just like, this is, they want to be identified. Yeah. Fine. That's great.
Look, dude, this is all well and good, but I made an oval today. And I'm tired. So I think if you're okay with it, I think we ought to wrap and then we could touch base again soon as opposed to waiting so long. What do you think? And then you have to send me.
We don't have to have this whole LGBT part in there if you don't want to.
No, it's going to be in mine. So it's fine to be in yours. I'm just telling you right now, I'm tired. And now I got the sniffles. Obviously, it's the air. It's not that I'm emotional because I got all that
it's
out.
It's 11. It's 11 where you are.
Yeah, it is.
And it's really hot. It's hot where I'm at. You're in the hot box.
Yeah, it's pretty awful here. So I just want to say thanks, man. I've missed you. I'm going to push the stop button. And
believe me, it's only simply because I'm just still trying to process all this.
Oh, sure.
So.
All right. Well, thanks, buddy.
All right, man. I appreciate it. We'll talk soon. Yeah.
easy.